Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 20th day of October, 2023. I am absolutely thrilled beyond words to have a returning guest today who has been absent from this program for far too long. He is certainly, without question, one of my audience's favorite guests, and his name is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and author of the volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity. And today, Dr. Moorcraft is going to be addressing what's going on in the world today and how the failures of the modern church got us here. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my old friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. And why don't you let our listeners know about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, especially for the sake of our listeners who are hearing you for the first time.
It's a Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery. It's very evangelical, and it's thoroughly committed to the standards of the church set forth in the Protestant Reformation. We have a small congregation. We're about 9 years old. It's hard to believe we're that old already. But we continue to grow. We have people that come, new people, every Sunday from all over the place. We just received a man a Sunday in our church that drives at least 2 hours from here, Chattanooga, every Sunday to hear the Word of God. And the church just continues to grow like that. Plus, it continues to grow with babies. We have a lot of pregnant women. We have a lot of babies in the church. And we do praise the Lord for the way He continues to bless us. We're thoroughly committed to the Great Commission. We're thoroughly committed to world missions. We, in fact, finance a young man in Brazil who's probably the most influential Calvinist in the whole country of Brazil. His name is Frank Brito, and I think he's been on your show.
Yes, he has. I got to get him back.
And we have much of our people are young adults that are very active in the advance of the kingdom of God. Some are very active in the Republican Party as Christians, not as conservatives, not as established Republicans, but as Christians. And some of them are involved in pro-life organizations. And we do praise the Lord for every single one of these people. They come to church. They know why they're coming, and they want to hear the Word of God.
Well, praise God for that. If anybody wants more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, their website is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And also, why don't you let our listeners know about your 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity.
I preached on the Westminster Larger Catechism for about 20 years. So these 8 volumes represent 400 sermons on the larger catechism. or on the Word of God through the eyes of the larger catechism. The larger catechism was written in the 1640s. It's still applicable today. I tried to write my commentary in language that everybody could understand. It's not just for preachers. It's for homemakers. It's for young people. It's for preachers. And it brings out the emphases of 500 years of the Reformed faith in theology and in ethics.
Well, if anybody wants more details on this 8-volume commentary by my guest, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, titled Authentic Christianity, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. Well, you have provided for us a theme that is quite provocative and I'm sure is going to be quite controversial. What's going on in the world today and how the failures of the modern church got us here? And there are a lot of things that could come to mind when someone says what's going on in the world today. Why don't you start with exactly where you are coming from in your desired conversation today?
Well, this subject you could talk on all day long. And you remember when David, King David in the Bible, was gathering an army, the qualifications for the men from the tribe of Issachar was that they were men who understood their times and they knew what to tell Israel to do. They knew what was going on in the world. They educated themselves in what was taking place in and around their nation and around them. And they knew the Word of God, so they knew how to give correct answers to all the issues that their nation had to face. When it comes to a question like, what's going on in our world? We have to address it and think about it as Christians, because most Christians don't think about that issue from a biblical perspective. There are certain presuppositions we got to keep in mind, and that is God has a plan. From all eternity, God has determined that he would display his awesome power in carrying out his plans from all eternity. So whatever goes on in this world today, it's not unhitched from God. God is still sitting on his throne. He still is in charge, and there's nothing we have to worry about. The second thing is to understand what God's goal is for our world today. I've been preaching through the book of Genesis, and it's been a great encouragement to me. You can get your theology, your eschatology, your ethics right out of the book of Genesis, particularly in the covenantal promises that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God told them that he was going to give them a seed, and that seed would be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who belong to him, regardless of ethnic origin. And that seed would be more numerous than the stars, the sky, the sand, and the seashore. And through that seed, that is through Christ and the church, every nation of the world will be blessed. Not in some kind of general sense, but the third chapter of Galatians says that every nation in the world is going to be blessed by that seed with justification by faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you have the promises of the gospel all the way back there in Abraham concerning the future of the church and the future of the world. And however dark and gloomy the world may look at this present time, and it looks pretty dark, remember God's goal is that all the nations of the world would be blessed with justification and the gift of the Spirit through the seed of Abraham, which is the Christ and all those who believe in him. So do not let the darkness of this world determine how you're going to view the future. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. We are to determine how we answer questions like, what's going on in the world today? Not in the light of what we see, but in the light of our faith in the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches. And Christians today are so ignorant. Evangelical Christians and many Reformed Christians, all liberals, are very, very ignorant. They don't know how to look at what's going on today. And that includes preachers. They don't know how to look at what's going on. I looked every day I look on the internet to see what people are saying. I really look at the sermons they're preaching. I look at the lectures they're giving. I look at their podcasts. I look at their YouTube posts. And there are a massive ignorance. For instance, there is a flurry of all kinds of attitudes from Christians thinking this is the end of the world, that what we see in Israel and Ukraine and around the world are signs of the second coming or signs of the rapture and the tribulation. And so I listen to these people every now and then. They have no idea what's going on in the world because they have no idea what the Bible teaches. There are some people that say that Israel is at the ethnic Israel is at the heart of everything. And we read the newspapers and what the nations are doing to Israel is prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. And Israel is God's people, and how they treat the nations treat Israel will show how close we are to the end of the world. Not a word of truth about in that. That Israel is a state that was formed by the United Nations in 1948 of unbelieving Jews. It's an ally of the United States, but it isn't Christian.
Right.
In fact, it's socialistic, and it persecutes Christians.
Right.
But it's an ally of the United States in the midst of a whole Muslim world. And when the United Nations created Israel, it guaranteed that there would be bloody wars in that district for decades and decades to come. So when we look at what's going on, we don't sit back and think, well, there's no use in doing anything. We should not try to change anything because this is just sign that second coming, the tribulation's going to come, and we just start to sit here, play a guitar, and wait for Jesus to come. So we've got to get that idea out of our mind, and yet it spreads like wildfire whenever there's any kind of big crises like this.
Now, there are people, if I could interrupt you just for a brief moment, there are people who are going to mistake what you are saying as coming from a cold heart of indifference about the horrific atrocities that are occurring by the hands of the Palestinians and Hamas against Israeli men, women, and babies. And what I have told to people, and especially during a time like this, is that although I do not believe that nation in the Middle East that is currently called Israel is the Israel prophesied in the scriptures, I do not believe it's any kind of a fulfillment of prophecy. They did not return to the land in repentance. They are not, even admittedly, from their own mouths, most of those in leadership are not even theists. They're atheists and agnostics. But at the same time, I do believe that right now they are a very important ally in the Middle East. They're not crying out for the death of America like the Muslim world is. And we should have a heart of compassion for what is occurring in that nation. Would you agree with what I just said?
Or I would agree with you wholeheartedly that every nation has the right to defend itself against those who would destroy it.
Right.
Israel's just a small little piece of land in an otherwise anti-Christian Islamic world that wishes for its death, along with the death of the United States.
Yes, remember, we're the big Satan. They're the little Satan, Israel. We're the big Satan.
Yeah. What they call us is the big Satan, and they call Israel the little Satan. Satan knows how to defend itself. Only a fool would assault Israel. And Hamas is learning that. And I think Israel should treat Hamas and all the other terroristic states down in there, like Hezbollah and the like, the way God told Israel to treat the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites were Old Testament terrorists. They would attack the weak, the vulnerable, old men, women, and children. And so God specifically commanded Israel to destroy the Amalekites so thoroughly that their very memory will be blotted out of history. That's the Bible's words. So, like Governor DeSantis said in a speech recently, he said that Biden should get out of the way and let Israel annihilate Hamas.
Right.
You notice that Biden has put restrictions on what Israel can do, but he hadn't put any restrictions on Ukraine.
Right.
And so there is a war going on, and it continues to grow. First, there's Israel and Hamas invading Israel. Then Hezbollah from Syria steps into the picture. Then Lebanon steps into the picture. And then Iran is behind all this, financing it. And then Netanyahu tells Israelis to leave Turkey because there's problems coming there. And so it continues to spread. And if we're not careful, it will spread far beyond the Middle East. But understand, if it does, it's not the end of the world. And the world's on fire. You have Ukraine and you have Russia. And by the way, there's probably a civil war going on in Israel. There's a civil war going on in Hamas. The one group of people over there that we should pity are the Palestinian Christians.
Right.
The Palestinian Christians were there before anybody was there.
Right.
They were there before the Jews. They were there before the Muslims. And they're persecuted by everybody. So we should keep the Palestinian Christians in our prayers. And so why is all of this happening? That's the question we should ask. Why is it all happening? Why does the world seem to be on fire? And even though China threatens us every now and then, I don't think people realize that China's economy is bankrupt and that it can't survive much longer the way it is. And our society, our economy, is on the verge of bankruptcy. And we have, our country's on fire. The big cities are on fire, literally. Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Detroit, Washington, Atlanta, where people are burning down buildings and killing people every day, and where policemen are not allowed to deal properly with these criminals lest they be punished by their superiors. The world is on fire, and why? Several reasons. Number one, because of Isaiah 3 says that when a nation rebels against God, when the church of God rebels against him, he removes effective leadership. And that country is led by people who are weak and irresponsible and reckless. And that is the picture that we're presenting to the world today. We are weak. Christianity's leadership is weak. And we who hate Christianity must now have now the opportunity to advance our strategies, to take more land, to express more power, because we know great Christian America will do nothing about it and can do nothing about it. I don't even know if our armies, our military can win a war, because it's more concerned with making sure that the homosexuals are accepted, the transgender people are accepted in the military, than they are with killing the enemy and winning a war.
Yeah, this nation has developed the insane idea that serving in the military, protecting the citizens of this nation, and even protecting the existence of this nation, is a right, not a privilege.
Yeah. I mean, we have people in leadership in the United States who are deliberately and self-consciously seeking to de-Christianize America and criminalize Christianity in this country. They're not doing it accidentally. They're not doing it out of ignorance. They know exactly what they're doing. They're wanting to remake the United States into their image and to destroy the last remnant of a Christian moral and social order. And the church, because of its preachers and its seminaries, has not been taught that it's in a war. It's in a life or death, cultural, religious war for the survival of the church. And it always has been, all the way back to Cain and Abel. That in the book of Genesis, one of the things you learn right off is there cannot be synthesis. There cannot be any peaceful coexistence between the church and the world. Because if there is, the church will look more and more like the world and less like the church. And then God will treat the church like the world, that is, his enemies. So I would hope that your listeners would read and reread, read and reread the book of Genesis. Why did Noah's flood take place? Noah's flood took place because the line of Cain intermarried with the line of Seth. The ungodly line married with the godly line. They let their children marry non-Christians. And evil and violence accelerated in the world until God finally said, I'm just going to wipe the earth clean. And so he drowned hundreds of thousands of people just to protect his people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason God sent Israel to Egypt.
Let me you could pick up where you left off there about why God sent Israel to Egypt, but I just wanted to take one question first before we go to our first commercial break.
All righty.
And then we will pick up on why God sent Israel to Egypt when we return from that break. But the questioner, who is Roberto in College Place, Washington, says, how do you respond to those who are vehemently opposed to postmillennialism because they look around them and see the world getting worse and worse right now, things happening like parents allowing their children to have gender reassignment surgery and then be pumped with drugs in order to so-called change their gender, and the nightmares that we see going on right now in the Middle East. And I could go on and on and on with how satanic this world is. And those who are anti-postmillennial say, this in and of itself disproves postmillennialism because we're not getting better. How do you respond to this?
Well, I agree with him in that the world is at least as evil as he said it was. And that's why 1 John says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. World means doesn't mean trees and birds and animals. It means human society organized and built upon a principle of revolt against God. The world has always been evil, and the world will always be evil. But I determine my view of the future not on what I see around me, but on what God teaches in His Word. Because if I based my view of the future on what I see, I would never be a postmillennialist at all. I'd be the most pessimistic, defeated person you could imagine. But somebody asked me one time, they said, how can you be so optimistic about the future in the light of what we read, see in the newspapers? And I say, I don't get my doctrine out of the newspapers. So if we can just get Christians to read the Bible and understand what a worldview is. I can remember 45 years ago, worldview was not a very common phrase. In fact, when we wanted to preach on worldviews, we had to use a German word, Weltanschauung, because we didn't know what a worldview was. We only saw the gospel as something that keeps you from going to hell when you die, but it is that. But the gospel is far bigger. Jesus Christ is not a personal savior. We've got to quit talking about him as a personal savior. He does save individuals, but he's a cosmic savior. His intention is to save his church in his world. And we've got to read the Bible and quit determining what we're going to believe and our attitude toward the future by what we see, because we would have every reason to be pessimistic, therefore. So when I see what's going around me today, I hate what's going on today. It reveals the evil of the world. It reveals the evil of a backslidden church. Because as long as preachers do not preach the truth, as long as the church is compromised, as long as the church is apostate or leaning toward apostasy, the world will always be like it is today as God's response to the church's rebellion.
And we are going to pick up where you left off when we return from our first break. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Moorcraft after these messages from our sponsor.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model to photorealistic image to wax prototype model to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com, that's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I want to remind you that I owe a great debt of thanks to my dear friend Jerry Johnson, who many of you may recognize that name. Jerry Johnson, who is a world-renowned Christian apologist and documentarian, he just recently purchased his wife's birthday present from RoyalDiadem.com, a beautiful diamond ring. And he told them that he heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And therefore, we are getting a check from RoyalDiadem.com that we should be receiving any day now for 100% of the profits of that sale. So if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and also want to buy yourself or someone you love jewelry, why don't you kill two birds with one stone and purchase that jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, either something that they have already in stock in the realm of jewelry, or if you're having something custom designed and created, like an engagement ring, or like turning your church logo, parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo or your denomination logo into a physical piece of jewelry or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your mind. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind, guaranteed to be exactly the way you want it to come out, because you are involved in every single step of the custom designing process, and you even get a wax prototype sent to you in the mail, no matter where in the world you live, the exact size and dimensions of the final product, and you get to approve of that as well or make changes. Please go to RoyalDiadem.com if you have any interest in purchasing or having custom design jewelry, and please do that soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener. Go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and author of the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism, known as Authentic Christianity. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We are talking about what's going on in the world today and how the failures of the modern church got us here. One thing I wanted to mention, Dr. Moorcraft, you had mentioned before we went to the commercial break that we cannot determine the future by what we see around us right now. Isn't a lot of the theological failure of churches and denominations and individuals outside of the Reformed faith is that not only do they wrongly understand the future, they don't understand a great deal of Christian theology because they are basing it on what they see with their own eyes physically. For instance, I'll give you some examples. they disagree with total depravity, because they see people coming to Christ, and apparently when you're just watching and hearing and experiencing someone, even yourself, coming to Christ, you are thinking they or yourself are doing this from your own free will. And you could also include in that many other things, like whether or not a true Christian, a truly born-again, regenerate person can lose their salvation. People come to the wrong conclusion about that because they see with their own eyes someone that they've known and loved for years, who might have even been a pastor that they've learned greatly from. And then one day you find out that the man has renounced the faith, has left his wife, moved in with his girlfriend, 30 years his junior, and never to speak about the Word of God again. And you say to yourself, well, that man lost his salvation because of what I see or saw. And we could go on and on and on with examples of that. Isn't that like a major problem with those outside of Reformed Christianity, because they're basing theology on what they think they are seeing physically?
It's curious. And as a result, they don't even know what the gospel is.
Right.
I don't want to be hypercritical, but the average evangelical Christian today does not know what the gospel is. And he thinks he does. And he doesn't realize that what he believes today is the same thing that Roman Catholicism believed throughout medieval history for 1,000 years. It's the same thing that was condemned by the entire Protestant Reformation Church in 1619 at the Synod of Dort, when the entire church condemned the teachings of a man named Jacob Arminius. They don't realize. They think, well, the churches always believe what we believe is the gospel. And that is a lie. The churches, anytime there's been elements in the church that believes what most evangelicals believe today, it has been condemned as heresy. And Paul said, if I preach to you any other gospel, if anybody comes to you and preaches any other gospel than what I preach to you, let him be accursed. So it's not an exaggeration to say, it's not being mean to say, that the church does not know what the gospel really is. They think, the church thinks, that the gospel is simply telling people that Jesus is a personal Savior who came to save you from hell. That's true.
Or to improve your life. Or to improve your life. But many of them don't even mention hell.
Sir?
Yes, can you hear me? I said many of them don't even mention hell. They just talk.
Oh, that is true. That's true. But it's a lot bigger than that. And that's why I tell them to study the book of Genesis. The reason that God had Jacob's sons sell Joseph into slavery in Egypt, it is that God was setting them up to protect them and to insulate them from a Canaanite-ish culture by humiliating them and putting them in slavery in Egypt until God raised up Moses to deliver them from slavery. Moses. And therefore, what was I saying?
You were talking about...
And the gospel is that the church must be humiliated in order to be exalted. That Canaanite culture was corrupting the church in Jacob's day. Judah, the ancestor of Christ, committed adultery with his daughter-in-law, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had more than one wife. And they were acting more like Canaanites than they were Christians. So God had to pick them up out of Canaanite culture and humiliate them for a while in slavery in Egypt to insulate them from the influence of the Canaanites. And he raised up Joseph. Joseph became the savior of the church. And Joseph saved the church of Jacob's day the same way Christ saves the church in all of time, by humiliation and exaltation. Jesus took upon himself the form of a slave, died the death of the cross, and then God raised him up and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess. So God's going to have to humiliate the church because of her rebellion and because of her synthesis, to insulate her from this evil culture, to purge her of the influences of the culture that's already showing up in her. Because God's not going to exalt her to greatness and to be a praise in all the earth until, first of all, he has humbled her because of her sins. And that's where we are. The spiritual condition of the church determines the condition morally, politically, and economically of the nation in which that church exists. So why are we having all these problems? Why do we have leaders that want us to be less and less Christian? Why are our leaders and our society becoming more and more vicious, more and more perverted, more and more violent? Why is the world on fire? It is God humbling the church and pushing her toward repentance, because for over a century, she has been declining spiritually and theologically and ethically. And a lot of that has to do with her preachers who don't preach the truth anymore because they went to seminaries that didn't preach the truth. Larry McDonald said one time, he was a United States congressman, he said, "You can't get the mud out of the stream until you get the hogs out of the spring." And we're not going to get rid of the theological apostasy and compromise of the church until we get the hogs, the liberals, out of the seminaries. And don't send our men to seminaries that will preach falsehood. In fact, we don't even have to send them to seminaries. I think the best seminary in the country is Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. I went to a liberal seminary. I think they can be, if these men that God has called into the pastorate are men of faith, submitted to the Word of God, they can train these young men themselves. There are several young men around the country that I help train for the ministry. They're better than I am. They're smarter than I am. They're going to be better preachers than I am. But I know what books to read, and I know what books to tell them to read, to look at the giants of the faith. I had a theology professor at Columbia Theological Seminary. He was the professor of systematic theology, and he bragged that he never read a word of Benjamin Warfield in his life. Benjamin Warfield's the greatest Presbyterian systematic theologian in the 1800s, and he was bragging that he'd never read a word of them.
Wow.
So our presbyteries are dominated by people who hate the truth. As a result, they have lost all discernment. They can no longer discern what's good, what's bad. They're tolerant. They are tolerant of everything and every viewpoint and every perspective except one. And that one perspective that they are intolerantly against is the view of historic, biblical, consistent Calvinism. and the Reformed faith.
Yes, when you described Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, you described the presbytery as small, and I was going to mention, but I let it ride, but now I see a very proper time to insert this. To hear the phrase small presbytery is typically a very good thing, because if the presbytery is large in Presbyterianism today, it is typically bad news, that you have to be very careful.
Yes, sir. Eventually things will be different.
Right.
I'm absolutely convinced that someday all the families and all the nations of the world will worship the triune God with us. I'm absolutely convinced in the power of the Word of God to change the viewpoints of Hindus, Buddhists, humanists, Muslims, whatever, all over the world, to believe in the sovereignty of God's grace and the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And because people say, well, how can you be so positive in the light of how negative everything is? Because I believe that grace is more powerful than depravity. I believe that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so these people do not scare me. They don't keep me awake at night, because I know who's in control of the universe. And I know that, as the second Psalm says, that the kings of the earth can against Almighty God and His Christ, and the nations are in an uproar, and He who sits in the heavens shall laugh.
Amen.
Why? Because He set His King Jesus on His holy hill, and He has given all the nations of the world to Jesus Christ as His inheritance. So that those nations will either believe in Him or be destroyed by His righteous scepter. You know, the great oratorio Handel's Messiah. I have on sermon audio sermons on every scripture text in that great musical piece. And it is a great piece. Frederick Handel, and his friend Jennings, an aristocratic evangelical, were very aware of the Enlightenment, and they hated humanism. And so they put their minds together. Jennings picked out the scripture references. Handel put the music to it. And they wrote this great piece. It's about 2.5 hours long. They wrote this great piece, not just to be entertaining, but to refute humanism.
In fact, could you pick up right where you left off when we returned from our midway break? Don't let us forget Handel's Messiah. Well, folks, we're going to be right. Can you hear me, Joe?
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to our midway break, so please be patient with us. We'll be back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III after these messages. Don't go away.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com. Thank you.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com, that's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. And I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And once again, folks, don't forget that solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a book sales slump. They are therefore having financial difficulties. So please remember that they are one of the most important advertisers we have on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We depend upon their monthly financial support through their advertising to exist. So please, if you've never purchased from solid-ground-books.com before, go to that website today, solid-ground-books.com, and make your first purchase. If you have purchased before, maybe even regularly, please go to solid-ground-books.com today and make your largest purchase ever if you can afford to do so. And mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, I have some very important announcements to make. Folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, please ironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way at your post office, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, remember, folks, when you are donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I never want anybody giving your own church where you are a member less money than you normally give to your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please don't ever do that. And also, please, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet financially and more stable financially before you send us a gift. There are two things that are extremely clear in the Bible. We are commanded to use our finances to provide for our church and our family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you love the show and you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. Please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and you don't want us to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience from all parts of the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from there where they live. And that may be you, too. I may be able to help you find a church as well. So if you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also where you can send in questions to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. And that is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. And Dr. Moorcraft, if we could pick up where you left off before the break.
Yeah, so we were talking about Handel Messiah.
That's right.
Great oratorio written in the middle 1700s. And that's not getting off track. Our subject is what's going on in the world and how's the church contributed to where the world is today. In Handel's Messiah, which is a piece of music, 2.5 hours long, you see how the church in the mid-1700s faced the cultural war of the Enlightenment and of humanism. It did not shrink back in retreat and in cowardice. It met the liberalism of humanism head on by writing some of the greatest music that has ever been written to refute everything it stood for. Most people, when they think of Handel's Messiah, they think of only one piece of it. And remember, it's 2.5 hours long, and it's all scripture. And the one thing that most people know is a hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah. And it they play it at Christmas, or they play it at Easter, or they think it has something to do with the second coming of Christ. And it doesn't have anything directly to do with any of those things. If you get the order of service and see where all of the pieces of music fit in the whole oratorio, you'll find that Handel's Messiah does not come in with the birth of Christ. It doesn't come in with the second coming. It comes in with the global preaching of the Word of God. There are some great songs that they sing on "Great is the Company of the Preachers." How beautiful are the feet of those that spread the gospel of peace. And then it says that God has given Christ the nations as an inheritance, and he shall destroy his enemies with his own scepter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the point is, he's sung confident that the world is going to be saved through the preaching of the gospel. It doesn't surrender. It is absolutely confident that the church will win and that Christ will triumph in history before the second coming. And every Sunday morning on the way to church and coming back from church, I listen to Handel's Messiah. Now, if you're not familiar with it, go to Google and look up scripture references in Handel's Messiah. And then once you have all the scripture references, listen to Handel's Messiah. My favorite version is conducted by Robert Shaw, who used to be with the Atlanta Symphony. And then once you've gotten all the scripture references in front of you and you've listened to them, go to sermonaudio.com and listen to my sermons on each one of those passages. It'll take you a long time, but it'll be sanctifying and it'll prepare your heart. You'll want to fight this battle. You won't want to stay on the sidelines. You don't care how many times you get shot.
You want to go forward because you know victory belongs to the people of God. That's the way the church has to think today. We win. The whole purpose of this, what's going on in the world today, is simply to humble us and to purge from us the influence of Canaanite culture so we'll go back and be what we're supposed to be.
Amen. And by the way, you have reminded me that I've got to urge our mutual, very close and dear and treasured friend, Bill Shishko, to do something that he used to do annually when I worked for WMC Radio in New York, WMCA Radio, 570 AM in New York. I worked there for 15 years as an airtime salesman. And every year, I don't know how many years in a row he did this, it may have been four, but Bill would purchase about a two-hour block of time where he would play significant portions of Handel's Messiah and give commentary in between. And I'm gonna contact him and urge him to see if he will do that for this. Yeah. Amen. And well, as far as the failures of the modern church, you've already listed some of those. How specifically have some of the horrors that we witness every day in our culture, in our world today, tell us about why you believe that very often the church and its leaders are responsible, at least in a great portion, for why these things are occurring.
Of leadership in the world. It's weak, it is pathetic, and it has not done its work as being the leader in a world in terms of influence and the gospel and controlling institutions by the word of God. It has compromised and given in to the Canaanite sins of our day: abortion, transgenderism, wokeism, socialism, and all the rest. And as a result, it is weak, and nobody's afraid of him. Nobody's afraid of them. You remember what God said to his people. He said, you can live in a Canaanite culture and be faithful, be perseveringly faithful, be relentlessly faithful, and God will put a dread in the heart of the Canaanites for you, the church. They'll not only fear Almighty God, they'll fear you. And the church, the world no longer fears the church. The church isn't going to condemn them. The church is going to tolerate them. The church is not going to discern whether to hate or love somebody. The church isn't going to preach the truth. And so the nations of the world have no dread for the church. And once the world starts to dread the church again and starts being afraid of us because they know they can't attack us because the power of Almighty God is behind us, then the church will take its place of leadership in the world. And then we'll see the cowardice of the enemies of God as they slip back under their rocks and into darkness.
Amen. And we do have a listener that has a question that is going right along with what you have been saying. Oliver in, I don't know if I'm going to mispronounce this or not, Kenduskeag. That's Kenduskeag, Maine. Sorry if I mispronounced that. He says, do you think one of the greatest reasons that the church at large is impotent in our world today is because they put at the very highest level of importance love, and that love that they exalt so highly is not even a genuine love? They think it's more important to be nice to people and kind to people rather than be concerned for their never-dying souls, tell them the truth, preach repentance, and that, in my opinion, is true love.
Very good. That love is not lawless. Love is the fulfillment of the law of God, says the Bible. And you love another person by treating them the way God says that person should be treated. I just thought of another very effective leader in the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell. God put him in a place of leadership as equivalent to the King of England. He wasn't the king. He didn't profess to be a king. He was called Lord Protector. But he was the highest and most powerful man in all of England. And he knew that God gives people power and influence in order for us to use them. So Cromwell got word that the Pope had started persecuting again the Waldensians. And the Waldensians were a group of Christians in northern Italy and central Europe that had been there for centuries. The Pope persecuted them back in the Middle Ages, and then the persecution stopped. And so then the Pope started allowing Irish Catholics to come down to Middle Europe and to kill the Waldensians and take their farms. And so what did Cromwell do? Did he say simply, I wish they didn't do that? I'll just pray harder that the Pope won't do that anymore. No. Cromwell wrote a letter to the Pope. And he said in so many words, if you don't quit persecuting my brothers and sisters, the Waldensians, I will send my army to Rome and burn Rome to the ground. Now, the new model army had never lost a fight in its life. So when God gives somebody influence and power and wealth, he intends for us to use it not for our own ease and comfort and pleasure, but we're to use that power and that influence and that wealth to bring the blessings of God to the nations of the world. I don't know whether American Christians are even aware of the fact that thousands of Christians all over the world every day are martyred. Whole churches, whole communities, whole families are martyred by those who hate Christ in this world. We think we have a rough time because we're made fun of and ridiculed and marginalized. But there are people today that are facing death if they continue to be Christians. So we must pray for our brothers all over the world. We must support missionaries to go all over the world. Our church has done something. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you things that the church can do. My local little church of 75 people, three times this year, has sent teams of about five men each time to go south of the border into the edge of Mexico, and to preach the gospel to the cartels, to the tent cities, to the migrants. And they've had the privilege of preaching to thousands of people. And now, the Lord willing, this winter, they're going to go to Cuba and preach to the Cubans. There's all kinds of things we can do. We can write music. I have friends to this day that write books. Go to church. Make sure you go to church, and make sure you go to a church where the truth is preached. And encourage your preacher to preach the word of God as it applies to every area of life. Do you know how a Christian is supposed to have a funeral? Do you know how a Christian is supposed to invest his wealth? Do you know how a Christian is supposed to be involved in agriculture? Do you know how Christians are supposed to create nations? You know how Christians are supposed to raise families? It's all there. It's all there in black and white. And the more I read the Bible, the more amazed I am about all the various areas of life that it addresses and tells us, here's the way to go. Walk in it. My word is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. Walk outside that light and its darkness. So if we can just get Christians to be Christians and to be committed to raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and be committed to bring people from weak churches or non-Christians with them to church on Sunday so that they can hear the Word of God, or to invite non-Christians into their homes for dinner or whatever so that they can witness to those non-Christians. If Christians would just act like Christians and quit being influenced by the Canaanites, things would change, and they would change very rapidly in this country.
It seems to me like you're saying, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, that the church at large has failed in being an influence that is taken seriously in all the major spheres of life, and that would be politics, the arts, that would be sports, that would be literature. We could go on and on and on, where the church typically fails in one of two ways. Either they are compromisers and just absorb what the world has to offer in all of those things, or they become retreatists and have become almost monastic in their behavior, where they only remain within the circles of their own theological capsule of people and do not really have any input into other things that have an effect on the culture. Am I guessing?
That's exactly right, that our preachers are teaching them that all the church can do is to save an individual here and there from hell, and to save as many individuals from hell as you can before Jesus comes and burns everything up. And nothing's going to be changed. There's no use in trying to change anything, because nothing's going to be changed. God has planned that the world get worse and worse until the rapture. And as long as that lie is preached in the church, we're going to get nowhere, because your view of the future will determine your activity in the present. If you're convinced in a ball game and you've been told that you're going to lose that game, you're not going to try very hard. But if you're in a ball game and you've been told by God you're going to win this game, nothing can keep you from continuing to work until victory is secured. Christians are easily chased off the battlefield. They're easily cowered. They believe what the world tells them. They don't even know that the verse is in the Bible in Corinthians, where the old prophet, where Jehoshaphat, is worried about his country being invaded by an enemy. And so Jehoshaphat was a godly man. So he was worried about that, and rather than just trusting in God's power, he made an alliance with wicked Ahab of the northern kingdom, hoping that maybe by that alliance, we can both protect ourselves from these invaders. And then the old prophet came to Jehoshaphat and said, "Do you want God's wrath to fall down upon you? How dare you love the wicked and help those who do not love the living God?" Now, most people don't even know such a verse is in the Bible, because they don't understand God. God's love for us guarantees our salvation. God's hatred for his enemies guarantees their defeat.
Amen. And I just want to give a shout out to one of our listeners. His name, I usually don't give the full names of individuals, but since this person is involved on the staff of a very important ministry, and that ministry is churchandfamilylife.com, whose president is Scott Brown, this individual's name is Brandon Vanderford, and in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and he says, "Dr. Moorcraft was a massive influence in bringing me to Reformed theology." I just thought I'd let you know that, brother. I don't know if you remember that name, Brandon Vanderfield. Amen. And it's a blessing to see how even many decades after you became a regenerate, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, Brother Moorcraft, that the Word of God still moves you to tears, even publicly. And that is something that has a profound effect on me, Brother. And I appreciate you not holding back even when I'm doing an interview with you. And one of the things about what we are discussing today that gets people angry, gets Christians angry, they think wrongly that you are diminishing the importance of evangelism and the purity of the gospel and being used of God to lead souls to Christ and to salvation. You're not diminishing the importance of that at all, are you? Amen.
Had a great influence on me when I was very, very young, was The Soul Winner by Charles Spurgeon. And so evangelism and world missions are the spearheads of transforming a culture. The primary solutions to what we have going on today are not primarily political or economic. They are spiritual and moral. And so, therefore, even though we get involved in politics, and I ran for the United States Congress, and I speak to political groups all the time, whenever I have the privilege of speaking to a political group, I preach the gospel, because the gospel is the spearhead of the transformation of a culture. And so every great period of revival and world missions in the history of the modern church has been led by people who love the Reformed faith. Don't forget that the man who taught us to believe in predestination was the greatest missionary in the world, the Apostle Paul. So somebody asked, I've forgotten who it was, they said, why pray if God is sovereign and has everything planned out? And, of course, the answer to that is, why pray if he's not?
Right. If we come to Christ through our own free will, unaided and unchanged through a changed heart, then what is God going to do when you pray for the salvation of your loved ones?
Very good. One time I was asked years ago to preach in Boise, Idaho, to a group of people that I don't think they were of Reformed background, but somehow they'd heard about me and they wanted me to preach on the sovereignty of God. I knew it was going to get me in trouble. I knew they didn't really know what they were asking me. But I took advantage of what they asked me to preach on, what they asked me to preach on, the sovereignty of God. So afterwards, a woman comes up to me as mad as a wet hen. And she said, if God has everything planned out and everybody predestined who's going to be saved and who's not, why tell people about Jesus? Why go around telling people about Jesus like you do? I said, well, first of all, I just love to. If you love somebody, you're going to love to talk about him. And secondly, because evangelism is God's foreordained means of accomplishing his foreordained ends, that God uses evangelism and the free offer of the gospel to save those whom he chose for salvation before the world was created.
Amen. We have a person with a very nice name. Princeton is the person's name in Hilo, Hawaii. Maybe the listener should rename himself Old Princeton. But Princeton in Hilo, Hawaii asks, why is it that even some of the most conservative evangelical denominations and parachurch ministries have become very soft on the sin of homosexuality when it is so blatantly obvious that this sin is an abomination in the scripture, and there is no mincing words in the Bible about how horrific this sin is?
That is a very important question. I put the blame at the feet of pastors who haven't taught them that there is a difference between good and evil, and God loves the good and he hates the evil. That pastors have not taught them such verses as Romans chapter 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 6, all these places throughout the scriptures that tell us that a homosexual is not born that way. It is because he has deliberately, defiantly chosen to live a perverted lifestyle, and that he is in rebellion against God. God wiped out a whole metropolitan area of thousands of people in Sodom and Gomorrah because it was a homosexual culture. But you don't have to stay homosexual. If you're a homosexual, you don't have to stay that way, because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6, there were people in the church of Corinth who were previously, before their conversion, homosexuals, but they weren't that way any longer because of the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Now, there are some states, like California, that has outlawed the recommendation of conversion therapy for homosexuals, to say that a homosexual may be converted so that he's no longer homosexual is considered a crime in the state of California.
Wow.
And so we disregard evil laws, no matter who believes the opposite. We believe the word of God no matter what, and we don't buy this mushy view of love that says that God loves everybody unconditionally. Mm-hmm. No matter what they do, no matter what they like, that is one of the biggest lies that has damned so many people, to think that God loves you no matter what you do.
Right.
That's not the case at all.
Amen.
That God's love is not lawless. It is intolerant of evil. When you say that God is righteous, you're saying that God discriminates between good and evil, and that he hates evil and seeks to destroy evil and reward the good. And the only standard in the world, the only infallible standard by which we can determine good and evil, is the word of God, the law of God contained in Holy Scripture.
Amen. And by the way, folks, I want to highly recommend that you listen to the recordings of two interviews I recently conducted on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. One was with Patty Height, who is founder of Out of Egypt Ministries. She was formerly enslaved by the sin of lesbianism and is now a new creation in Christ, and even been delivered from same-sex attraction completely. And she was also enslaved by gender confusion, which is now currently today known as transgenderism and so on. A fascinating interview. And also, I also interviewed recently on Friday, the 13th of October, my friend Rosaria Butterfield on her book, Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age. And speaking of the listener in Hilo, Hawaii, and his question, Rosaria informed me on the air during our interview. In fact, she chose my show to announce this publicly for the first time, that an evangelical ministry that has been greatly loved by many in the body of Christ and has benefited many in the body of Christ has sadly caved in to the lies of the homosexual movement. And although they would claim homosexuality, if it is physically consummated or even a part of one's lust, that it is sin, but at the same time, they believe that that can be a completely innocuous identity for a Christian, and that was the defense of debate that I recently arranged between Dr. James R. White, who is opposing the thesis, is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church, and Dr. Gregory Coles, who identifies as a gay Christian himself, was saying that there is no sin that needs to be repented of by simply being innately gay, as he would claim. So this is a sin that and a heresy that may be even more dangerous than those homosexuals who believe they can just pursue their lusts in any way they want, because this more palatable sounding version of the homosexual rhetoric is much more easily acceptable in evangelical circles, and they're even inviting people like Dr. Gregory Coles to speak to their youth groups in evangelical churches all over the United States.
Well, the PCA is eaten up with that view on homosexuality.
Yep.
It is eaten up with it, and it is damnable.
Yep.
That it's not just actions. People say, well, I'm homosexual and I'm okay as long as I don't act on it. Well, we are whatever we think in our hearts, that's what we are. We live like we live because we think like we think. And so it's desires that are sinful as well as actions. And we have just bought into this mushy view that we are to tolerate everybody as long as they're kind and as long as they're nice and as long as they don't do anything that's perverted. It's just between them and God in their hearts. And that is a view that is eating the heart out of the church. I heard a man speak, an elder in the PCA, and he was speaking at a general assembly. And there were hundreds of elders at that general assembly meeting. And this man admitted before the whole General Assembly that he was a non-practicing homosexual. Well, that was bad enough because he was never disciplined for that. But what was even worse is after he said that, hundreds of elders in that room cheered and clapped their hands.
Wow. And as James White rightly pointed out in the debate he had with Dr. Gregory Coles, when a defense is attempted to say that you can innately have as an identity homosexuality, and it's completely innocuous and non-sinful in the eyes of God because there's no activity involved in it necessarily, James White said, in the same texts that Paul is listing sins that are sending people to hell, that his listeners, some of whom had repented of those sins and were washed and so forth and sanctified, among those sins was covetousness. And he pointed out that
right.
Covetousness is not a physical action, it's a state of mind and heart that can lead to physical sin.
Very good point.
And so he said, we're not to be identifying ourselves as covetous Christians, are we? And Dr. Cole said no answer for that. But we have to go to our final break right now. And so if you have a question you'd like to submit to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, send it in now to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper.
President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Island 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. And folks, please remember, I know that you have been hearing every day commercials for the Historical Bible Society. Well, don't forget that that organization was founded by my dear friend for decades, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, who is a serious injury and medical malpractice attorney. If you are the victim of a serious injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, from anywhere in the 50 states of the United States, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And please, you have to mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Dr. Moorcraft, I really want you to conclude with a summary of what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding this topic.
They need to, if their preacher is not preaching the Word of God, all the Word of God and only the Word of God, get out of his church. And then find a church where the preacher does preach the entirety of the Word of God with passion and with power. And then fathers, take the leadership in your home of teaching your children what you learned in church to be true. And bring people to church with you on Sunday. Unbelieving people. People from weak churches. That's one of the most important things you can do, is to bring people to church with you. Get involved in pro-life organizations. Take the Bible with you in the voting booth. And don't vote for somebody just because of the party that he's in. But does he love the law of God? And does he hate evil? Those are just some of the things that are absolutely essential. And don't let your children marry non-Christians. Don't let them dress like non-Christians. Don't let them always fill their minds with the same things that fill the mind with non-Christians. Because you don't want your children to grow up to be Canaanites and lose them forever.
Yes, I remember hearing Vody Balcom, somebody that both you and I greatly admire, say something to the effect, don't be surprised if you're sending your children to Caesar's schools that they come back home little Romans.
That's right. Get them out of public schools. I think it's child abuse to send your children to public schools.
Well, brother, I want to make sure our listeners have your websites. If you are either living in the coming Georgia area, or you're visiting that area, or you have friends, family, and loved ones in that area, the website for Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, is heritagepresbyterian.org, I believe. Now I've been saying it so long. I knew it by heart, but I guess I don't. I'm going to look it up right now. But also, while I'm looking that up, the website to find out more about Dr. Moorcraft's 8-volume commentary on the Larger Catechism, the Westminster Larger Catechism, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. And once again, the website for the church is HeritagePresbyterianChurch.com. I'm sorry about that. HeritagePresbyterianChurch.com. And I am so thrilled, brother, that we are now able to resume our regular interviews with you. I look forward to your return very soon and very frequently, God willing.
And I look forward to it too.
And I want to thank all of our listeners, especially those who took the time to write. And I want to remind you all to never forget for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.